All right. How many birth children did Abraham have? If you heard it this morning, don't raise your hand. And the rest of you are like, I'm not playing. You guys take all the fun out of it. How many birth children did Abraham have? How many know? Was it two? Two? Ishmael and Isaac? Those weren't his birth children? Who's not going to play? This isn't a setup, it's a question. Okay, so Juanita says two. Nan says two. It's like a bidding. They're back here going, two, two, two. Yeah, two. How many said eight? How many said six? How many said four? How many are just going to keep their hand up for everything, Carol? Yeah, he didn't have any. His wife did. Settled. His wife, his concubine, and his wife had all the children. So for the fun of it, just to say, Abraham had eight sons. He had one from Hagar. Remember, Sarah got in the way. And here's the interesting thing. Have you thought about this just for a second? And you guys are like, what's this got to do with the message? You just hang in there, you'll find out. So the interesting thing is, right, Jesus visits Abraham. And tells Sarah, because remember, Sarah is like old. She is past the age of childbirth. She is old. How old is Sarah? 90. Old. Somebody give me a number.
90.
90. Okay, 98. 99. 100, I don't know. So she's in her 90s, right? So Jesus comes and he says, hey, listen, Abraham, Sarah's going to give you a child. And what does Sarah do? She laughs, right? And so Jesus does what I love to do. He confronts her. And he's like, why are you laughing? She's like, I wasn't. Right? Isn't that what Sarah does? And so here's what Jesus says. Man, what a blessing. Hey, Brandon, I love you. He just saved himself from getting all wet next week. All right, so here's what Sarah does. Sarah laughs because she's like, I'm old. I'm way past childbearing age. And then Jesus, remember the Lord, the angel of the Lord, that's literally Jesus. And Jesus says, listen, this same time next year, you're going to give birth to a son. The same time next year. So we knew there was no shock of when Sarah was going to have this child, right? Sarah's going to have the child in a year. What does Sarah do? She tells her husband, here's a concubine. Have your son with her because I can't. I don't know what that dude was telling us that came out of nowhere and showed up at our tent and said he was God. But I can't have children. This is obvious. I am old. We have tried for years and years and years, and it hasn't happened. And so you take Hagar. And so Abraham takes Hagar. He's like, okay, you're the boss. Let's go, Hagar. And so he takes Hagar. Okay, it may not have been quite like that. I don't know. Some of you need to quit looking at me all angry. That's what you need to do. And so he says, all right, here's what we're going to do. Hagar, she gives Hagar to Abraham. Abraham goes, and then Hagar has a child. And what's the child's name? Ishmael. Okay, and so, but did God say, wait a minute, that's not the one I was talking about. No, that's not the one. Sarah, I told you you're going to have a child. And I even told you when you were going to have this child. But because of disbelief, she tries to intervene and fix it her way. How many of us try to fix God's problems our way? Amen? Or our problems our way. And God's like, why don't you listen? No, you got to be the boss. You got to mess it all up. And so God says, listen, Ishmael is not the one. Sarah, you're going to have a child. It's going to be by you. Lo and behold, God was right. Sarah gets pregnant, has a child. Same time, next year. The time God said that it would happen. So then God says, hey, listen, you know what? It is through this child that that I am going to bless you. This is through this child that all humanity is falling under, right? Or the promise, well, what promise? We're going to find that out. Jesus Christ comes. But we're going to look at that, of the promise. And so then time goes on. Abraham goes to sacrifice Isaac because God says to sacrifice Isaac. And then God's Isaac doesn't sacrifice, or Abraham doesn't sacrifice Isaac because God stops him. And then so we see all that drama. And then somewhere in between that moment of sacrifice, Sarah, she dies. She has a heart attack and she dies. And so then they bury her. And then Abraham remarries. Go to Genesis chapter 25. By the way, no verse is going to be up here today. You guys are going to have to scroll through the Word of God. Somebody say amen. There you go. Genesis. For those of you who don't know, Genesis is about halfway between Malachi and Matthew. You'll find, okay, Genesis is the first book of the Bible. What did I tell you? What chapter? Ah, man, you guys are listening. I'm so excited. You have just encouraged me to keep preaching. Do that at about 11:45, and I'll ask a question. Everybody be silent. Time to go home. Genesis chapter 25. Look here in verses 1 and 2. Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah, and she bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. Six more boys. So she bore him six. How many remember Abraham getting remarried? That's what I thought. Thank you for your honesty. And so he gets remarried after his first wife dies. He doesn't divorce her. She dies. And then he remarries. He has six more boys. So he has how many total of boys? Eight. He has eight boys. How many are entitled to his inheritance, or to their inheritance, his what do you call it? His estate? We'll call it, yeah. How many are entitled to his estate? Why? So nobody should get any inheritance? None of the other seven should get any inheritance? Wow, remember that when your parents pick only one of you children. To get, it's like, hey, sorry, but he's the oldest. But technically, was Isaac the oldest? No. Ishmael was the oldest. Wow. How many are going like this? All right. And why was all that so important? I need you to go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, and for all those that are keeping up with what we're doing, you will know that we have covered 1 through 5 7 months ago. And so now we're going to be on verse 6. But to get you caught up, we got to read 1 through 5 again to get you up to speed of where 6 picks up. Because Paul is spending his time here trying to explain, because what happens is people say, or the Jews say, we are Jewish, we are of Abraham, and therefore we are going to heaven. And Paul's like, whoa, hold on a minute. And many other people that believe, that read the Bible, they say, well, if you're Jewish, you're automatically going to heaven. And Paul says, no, 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 that is not true. Just because you're Jewish does not guarantee you a spot in heaven. Just because you are a child or that you are of Abraham's genealogy, you are not guaranteed a spot in heaven. And how many say, wait a minute, I thought all Jews went to heaven. How many thought that? How many are going like this? Just high enough so I can see it then, right? And so most people say, well, Jews automatically go to heaven, but that's not true. Let me ask you this. How do people, you didn't realize it was going to be so interactive this morning, did you? Neither did I. And so how many of you believe that you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior to get to heaven? That's the only way, right? And so that falls under all of humanity, not just for the Gentiles, but it's for the Jews as well. And we've seen that time and time again through Romans, through the Scripture. Let's look here in 9, 1 through 5, and then we'll pick up in 6, and we're going to break down why I went into the genealogy so that everybody understands what's going on. He says here in 9, I tell the truth in Christ. So Paul is automatically taking his stand, and he's saying, this, I'm telling you the truth in Christ Jesus, so there's no denying. He has already pulled Jesus in as his witness. That's what he has done. I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. And so here's what he's done. He says, I tell you the truth in Jesus Christ, and through and by the Holy Spirit. I am not lying to you. So now he has done what? He has called in two witnesses. And remember in the Bible, in the Bible days, that if you had two witnesses, that was considered the truth, and therefore it was settled. And so what did Paul just do? He called in two witnesses. And who were his two witnesses? Christ and the Holy Spirit. Do you not find that pretty cool? Okay, I do. Amen. Here we go. In verse 2, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself, look what Paul wants to do. You talk about compassion for his fellow man. You look at what Paul has here. He says, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. And so he doesn't say to those who are already saved, he says to my brethren, and who are his brethren? The Jews. And then he says, my countrymen, just to confirm it and to tie it up, he says, listen, I'm talking about the Jews, I'm talking about my countrymen specifically, and then he says, in the flesh. And so we know he's not talking about the Christian, he's not talking about the saved, he's talking about the lost Jews of Israel. Just for clarification, I gotta catch you guys back up so you know where we're at. So he says, as he goes on, in verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. Wow, he said, listen, the Israelites, because who did God make all these promises to, these covenants, which by the way, a covenant is a promise. And he says to all those who God has made a promise to, a covenant to, the Israelites, they're the ones. He says, I'm not denying that God has said, you are my chosen people. But there's more to it than that. See, many people today, they believe that they're going to heaven because, hey, you know what? My mama is a Christian and my grandma is a Christian. And so therefore, it is passed down through our generations. Therefore, I am a Christian. I am going to heaven because I am a good person. I'm going to heaven because I've never killed anyone. Well, praise Jesus, you've never killed anyone. That is the litmus test. I have not killed anybody, so I'm a good person because of that. I'm not going to heaven because I haven't hurt anybody. I'm not going to heaven because, listen, what do I do wrong? I don't do anything wrong. I'm an upstanding citizen. I've never been arrested. I'm not going to heaven because, and they go right on down the line. Well, Paul was making his point that because the Israelites say, I'm going to heaven because, was I saying I'm not going to heaven earlier? Yeah, I thought I saw Brandon laughing at me. And then the Holy Spirit brought it into my remembrance that I just misspoke. They say, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. There you go. And then you do all the rest. Okay. Because I'm not reliving that moment. And and then the Israelites, they do the same thing that Americans do today. They say, well, I'm going to heaven because, there you go, I corrected that, amen. And I'm going to heaven because, the Israelites say, I'm going to heaven because we're of Abraham. Our father's Abraham. Has nothing to do with what they've done, but because Abraham is our father, we're going to heaven. And so in verse 5 he says, of whom are the fathers and from whom according to the flesh. If you notice, Paul's very specific in 9, 1 through 5. He's talking about the flesh. According to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen. And then we get into verse 6, and this is where we pick up new and afresh from where we left off back in September. And you go, why taking you so long to get back to Romans? Because you guys want different stuff. We had holidays. We had all this stuff going on. And so we just took a break from Romans. And that's why it's going to take us 15 more years. All right. So in verse 6, it says, by the way, if you're visiting with us, It probably will take us 15 years to get through Romans. Okay. Verse 6, but it is not, look here what Paul says. He says, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. What, Paul? Right? How many just wanted to go, what, Paul? Man, you guys don't play anymore. I don't like that. So at any rate, he says, but it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. And he says, listen, it's not that the word of God has fallen on deaf ears, because there are some Jews that have gotten saved. There are some people that have gotten saved. And there are some people that have not gotten saved. And so there's a difference, because they're not all of Israel that are of Israel. And so he separates them through salvation. And then he goes on. Look here in 7. Nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. Wait a minute. What do you mean they're not all children? Because they're all, if we're of Abraham, we're the children of God. That was their mentality. And it was so much so that they argued with Jesus about this. I want everybody to take their Bibles and turn to John chapter 8. To John chapter 8. It's just to the left of where you're at. Keep your spot in Romans, because we will be coming back to it. In John chapter 8, I sat down and I figured it's going to take me roughly 2.5 hours to get through this and explain it clearly, but we're going to be entertaining as well, so for those who are new, don't get excited. All right, so here we go. In John chapter 8, I want you to go to 37. I want you to go to 37. Not chapter 2, but verse 8. Wait a minute. Did I just confuse everybody? Okay, so I want everybody to just stand still. Take a breath. All right. Go to chapter 8, verse 37. Oh, my goodness. I need a drink of water. Okay. I need something, right? Is it warm in here or is it me? Let me do it. Kathy says it's warm in here. Wow. Kelly, are you warm? That means it's warm in here. If Kelly's comfortable, it is hot. All right, I need you to do me a favor, Big Dave. Open up the back door and let, not the outside door, because people are freaking out. It's snowing out there. It's 15 degrees. John chapter 8. All right. John chapter 8, verse 37. Here we go. Remember I said that what's happening is we're talking about the seed and how the Jews are like, hey, I'm going to heaven because we're of Abraham. We're Abraham's children, so we're automatically in. There's your exception clause right there. And Paul says, no, that is not true. And I'm going to take you to John chapter 8, and I'm going to show you through Jesus Christ, where Jesus even tells them, just because your father is Abraham doesn't mean that your home is heaven. And guys, I want you to know that just because you come to church doesn't mean that your home is heaven. And just because you do whatever you do, or you're a good person, or you say, hey, I do this and I do that and whatever it is, it doesn't mean your home is heaven. And just because you're a good person doesn't mean your home is heaven. And just because you're morally acceptable to society, which that I wouldn't even claim, doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. What means that we're going to heaven? And Jesus clarifies that. And that's this whole issue in Romans chapter 9 that Paul is going, that he deals with. But then he sends us back to John chapter 8, verse 37. Look at this. He says, I know that you are, and by the way, let me set it up. The Pharisees and the lawyers and all the rich, uptight people who were rulers and who thought they had all the answers, and they were the teachers, the religious teachers of that day. They all come together. They're going to question Jesus. And so they have this huge powwow with Jesus. And they want Jesus under pressure. How many of you think Jesus goes under pressure when more people come around? Yeah, he doesn't give a rip. Look, bring them all on. I'm Jesus. I have the answers. And you go, that's arrogant. He has the right. It's God. And so here we go. And by the way, arrogance, he's not. He's just truth-telling. And people don't like truth-telling, by the way. Not always. So here we are in 37. Jesus says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. In other words, they're not godly and they're not of God. They're just simply descendants of Abraham. And he says, listen, I know you're a descendant, but there's a big difference between being a descendant of Abraham's and being a child of God's. There's a huge difference. And you know, these people who say, well, I've tried Christianity and it just doesn't work for me. I say, try Jesus, forget Christianity. Try Jesus, forget religion. Try Jesus, forget church. Quit looking for all this other stuff because you've not really tried Jesus. Because Jesus says once you've tried him, you never go away. Because you understand and you know who he is. Well, these guys were religious. They didn't have anything else, but they were religious. And that was Jesus' point. He says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Wow, there's a separation right there, isn't it? I speak what I've seen my father do and what is in my father and who my father is, and you live out who your father is. But you go, well, so what? Maybe they have the same father. Oh, no, Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus is one for clarification. He is not one to fail on communicating. He is one to make his point very clear, and he communicates it very well. And so we find here in 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, insinuating they're not, right? Okay, not insinuating, he's stating it. You would do the works of Abraham. In other words, you would do the things of your father because you would have that respect. Now, you know, today, many children don't have the respect that they're supposed to have for their parents. And so he's saying here, listen, if you were of your father, you would do the things of your father because you would respect who your father was and you follow suit. It was common back in that day, but today society has convinced our children that parents don't know anything and parents have no right, and that's a soapbox. I'm going to move on. So he goes on here and he says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man, referencing himself, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Abraham didn't try to kill anybody when he heard truth. Abraham surrendered to the truth. Abraham believed the truth. Remember, it was what he believed that was accounted to him for righteousness. You're not doing that. You want to kill me. And by the way, I'm the same one that talked to Abraham. I'm the same one that told Abraham who I was. And you want to kill me. He says, but now I'm 41. You do the deeds of your father. He's about to clarify who their father is. And by the way, I just want you to say this out loud. Jesus doesn't give a rip about being politically correct. So let me brace you before this happens, okay? He says in 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. He says, listen, if you were God's children, you would recognize me. What does Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice, and they know who I am. We have this thing that we call a dog at the house. So you guys, he is challenged. And so, in so many ways, I struggle to call him a dog, but since I'm left with no other term, I will call him a dog, just for sake of argument. And so, we have this dog, and my girls will call him, and they'll look at him, or this dog, this thing, will look at my kids and go, who are you? Right? You guys think I'm being serious. And so they look at my girls and they go, and the dog's like, I don't know who they are. And so then they'll do this, Dad, call him. And so I simply go, Tebow. He runs right up to me. I hate that. And he runs right up to me. Oh, are you kidding me? Oh, that is so funny. That is about that dog's life, sideways. And so at any rate. See, that's like putting a picture of a baby up there. I just lost. So at any rate, the dog will run up to me. And it's like, why? Because the dog knows who... the boss is. The dog knows who his owner is. The dog knows. I'm not calling these guys dogs. I'm just simply saying, through maybe a poor illustration, but let's get back to Scripture. So, it says here, 42, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Why are you not hearing me clearly?" Well, listen, you're not of God. You're not going to hear God. And so people, I often hear people all the time who say, "Man, I pray, but I don't ever hear from God." Well, my question is, are you of God? Are you his? Well, yeah, are you telling me I'm not? I just asked a question. Jesus says here in 43, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word." He's establishing this. And then he says here in 44, "Why is it that you can't hear me? Because you are of your father, the devil." Wow. That didn't make them feel good, I'm sure. He says, "You don't hear me because you're not of your father Abraham. You're of your father, the devil. Because if you were of Abraham, you would be a child of mine, because you would believe what Abraham believed, but you don't believe what Abraham believes. You believe what you believe, and you believe what the flesh believes, and you believe what society tells you, and you believe what your pride and your arrogance force you into. I'm telling you, you're not of Abraham, you're of the devil. Satan is your father," which, by the way, this is going to rattle some cages, and it's okay, but when you're born into the world, you are born with Satan being your father. And you go, how is this so? We're born sinners. We're born with a sinful nature. And because we're born with a sinful nature and we act out sinful nature, that immediately aligns us with Satan. How many here have taught their children to lie when they were a year old or 2 years old? Right? How many of your parents taught you to lie when you were a year or 2 years old? But yet you would come out of the kitchen and you would have this juice mark around your face, and you would have powder all over you, and you'd have mess all up in your teeth, and they'd say, "Were you in the juice and donuts?" And you're like, "No." Who taught you to do that at a year and a half, 2 years old? And you go, "Well, that's young." Hey, they're walking by then, or should be. Usually are. Whatever. No pro on children. So at any rate, but who taught them to lie? Their father. Satan. We're going to feed that flesh. How many in here are liars? Yeah, right? How many in here are thieves? Okay, so how many here aren't going to admit to it? And so, I mean, listen, why did you do that? Who taught you to do that? Listen, that was in us. Just like it's in them. And that's why Jesus is saying, you're of your father, the devil. And that's why you don't believe the things of God, because you are of Satan. Have you guys ever noticed that you're talking to a person, a lost person? By the way, yes, they are lost, and yes, they are born again. All these terms are real terms. You'll find them in the Scriptures. So let's not run from them anymore. Amen. I mean, we're in the house of God, and so people are like, "Well, why don't you quit talking like a Christian?" What? It's like asking Larry to quit being a man. It's just not going to happen. We pray. So anyway, as we look here, and he says, "You're not understanding the things of God, because you're not of God. You're of your father, the devil. And as long as you are of your father, the devil, and you don't stop and you don't do the things that God says to do, which is receive Jesus as your Savior, you're never going to understand the things of God, because you won't have the mind of God, because you won't have the Spirit of God indwelling in you." See how all this fits together? Somebody say amen. Thank you, just so I don't feel like I'm wasting my time here. All right. So then he goes into 44, and in 44 he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." Listen, you're going to act like your father, and you are going to live like your father. You're going to do the things of your father because you don't know any better. And that's why when you receive Jesus as your Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit of God. Now you have the mind of Christ. You have the ability to act like Christ. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't say, follow me, do the things that I do. God wouldn't say to be righteous if he didn't feel it was possible after you received Jesus. Because the thing is, when you get saved and Jesus is now your Savior, you literally now have two natures. You have your nature you were born with, which is your sinful nature. It's that thing to do all the wrong that we do. And then you have the nature of God because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So now, guess what we get to do? We get to make decisions. Are we going to do what is from our original father? Or are we going to follow our new father who has adopted us? Are we going to honor Satan, or are we going to honor God? Because see, the truth is, if you're born again, you have that ability. But if you say, I don't believe this, or you say, ah, God, I tried Christianity, God's a farce, blah, 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 then listen, you don't have the ability to go back and forth because you still only have one nature. And this is what Paul is trying to get across to the Israelites in chapter 9. And this is what Jesus is trying to get across to the Israelites in John chapter 8. There's no difference. The message is the same. But just because you come from someone's seed doesn't mean that you are a child of God. And so Paul will clarify that here in just a moment, but I got to finish up with Jesus first. So then he says here in 44, he says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Oh my goodness. He just called him a murderer too. Whew. Man, where are the PC police when you need them? And he says, a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. So now he's calling him a liar. Because there is no truth in him. Just you don't have the ability. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. You can't believe me because you're not of Abraham. Because Abraham was of me. Do you guys see what Jesus is doing? In verse 46, he says, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? So he asked a question, because Jesus is famous for asking questions. Amen? He always asks questions. But in this case, he asked a question, and then he turns around and answers the question for them. He doesn't even give them an opportunity for a rebuttal, because you got to remember, there are lawyers in this crowd as well. And so Jesus is just like, I'm not even going to waste my time with you, because the Bible tells us that we have to be careful to argue with a fool. And because if we argue with a fool, if we're not careful, we begin to look like the fool. And so Jesus isn't even going to put himself in that position. He asked a question, and then he answers the question. 46, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why don't you believe me? 47, here's your answer. He who is of God hears God's words, therefore you do not hear because you're not of God. And so Jesus is establishing that, listen, just because you come from the genealogy of Abraham does not mean you're a child of God. It just simply means you can follow your bloodline. And guys, just because you live in America doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. And just because you're good by your own standard doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. And just because your parents were saved doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And just because you went to church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And just because you got baptized doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And just because you are morally correct doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Listen, you only go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. Plus nothing, minus nothing. And this is what Paul is establishing in chapter 9 when we get back there. And it's what Jesus is establishing in John 8. Listen, you were born of Satan, and you act like Satan, and you believe the things of Satan, and that's why you do the things of Satan. Because if you were of me, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. And that's why, guys, when we're around other Christians and there's that unity there, how many, when you meet a Christian, you don't even know them, but all of a sudden there's like this, whoo, and you're excited to have conversation with them? Or am I the only one? Right? There's unity there. There's love there. There's why? Because now we have something to talk about. But man, you run into somebody that doesn't believe God, and then there's this argument. I don't know how many of you follow me on Facebook, but I always just post simple statements, quotes, whatever is on my heart or mind. I'll post it, and so when I do that, I always have, typically I'll have one gentleman who is an atheist. And he'll respond to it saying, you know, sometimes, usually he's arguing with me all the time, and I just don't have it in me sometimes to rebuttal, but I just leave it alone. I'm like, dude, you can have it today. I just don't have it to argue with. You know, because you just can't argue with an idiot but so long, amen? And then you're like, oh, I'm banging my head against the wall. I can't do this anymore. And so, but the last two times he's responded, the first time he responded and he agreed with me. And I'm like, woo, there's a party in East Greenbush now, dude. And I even sent him a text. You believe? You and I agree? And to myself, I'm going, there are miracles, right? But it's just because it was general, right? And so then I sent another one out, and he agreed with me again. I'm like, woo, two in a row. Somebody sent a dancing somebody in there or something like celebrating with me, you know? But I don't respond to him, right? And so, but a lot of my friends are Christians. I think I have, whatever, there's 1,700 people as friends on there or whatever it is. I don't even know anymore. And so now they're responding. I'm going, well, there's no sense me responding. Let them do it. They'll grow weary, right? Because I'm past weary at this point. And so I'm watching all these people respond. And then, of course, he's lashing back out and telling them how dumb they are for believing. I mean, because he believes we came from nothing. And then he calls Christians dumb for believing we were created. Just because, I mean, if you have nothing, you still got nothing no matter how much you deal with nothing. Amen? Zero is always zero as long as it's zero. And so for some reason, he thinks zero can come to 10 just like that. I don't get it. And so they're arguing with him. And as I'm reading it, I'm going, have fun. I'm out. And so I check out, right? Because it's just crazy. And that's what's going on here. And Jesus is dealing with them because they think he's crazy. And he already knows they're lost. And so he's like, listen, if you don't believe the things of God, it's because you're not of God. Period. End of discussion. If we had this discussion with somebody in the world, I'd be arrested for a hate crime. Right? Today? But Jesus has it, and I love it, and I love the fact that I can read it and maybe help somebody to understand it. And Jesus says, listen, it's quite simple. Just because you're Jewish and you're an Israelite doesn't mean, and you're from Abraham's descent, it doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. All right. Go back to Romans chapter 9. That was the introduction. Now let's get into the message. In Romans chapter 9, verse 6, and I'll be quick to go through this. It says, but it is not the word of God, it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children, because they are the seed of Abraham. But in Isaac, your seed shall be called. Uh-oh. We just got this, didn't we? It's in Isaac. Why? Because the promise was given through Isaac and nobody else. So then he says here, that is those who are children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Whoa, wait a minute. So we have Abraham. We have Abraham having children. And Abraham has how many sons? Eight. And so how many descendants are from Abraham if we just look at the eight boys that he has? There's a lot of descendants, would you not agree? And Paul says, listen, there are so many of you that have come from Abraham's seed, but it is only those who come from and believe in the seed or the promise of Isaac. So the other seven, okay, sorry, but they don't mean anything. There is no value to come from them. It's kind of like coming from Jacob and Esau. You guys remember Jacob and Esau? Esau was the redhead one, and he was the one that went out and hunted and did all this stuff, and Jacob stayed home and he sewed and he knitted and he cooked. And so Jacob or Esau comes home and he's starving, and Jacob says, hey, sell me your birthright, because Esau wants to eat. And then Esau eats, sells him his birthright. Then there's this huge battle that goes on between them, and there's this bitterness that goes on between them. And then Jacob, but what does God say about those two, even though they're rivals? And he says, Jacob I love, but Esau I hate it. Now, he didn't literally hate Esau. He hated what Esau stood for. He hated what Esau represented. And then if you look at the Edomites, that those are all descendants of Esau. What are they? They're against God. They don't believe there's a God. Listen. The Edomites, they're wicked people. But if you have the Israelites, they're the people of God. But both are from Abraham. Do you see it? And Paul simply says, listen, you could come from all these descendants from Abraham, but listen, until you believe like those of Isaac, you have no hope. Because all the other seven, they were believing in their own way, doing their own way. Listen, they were out there and they hated God or didn't want anything to do with God. They were all about themselves. And so Paul makes it very clear, listen, not everyone can claim that they're from God. Only those from Isaac, those who believe in that promise or that covenant, which, by the way, we believe in the promise or that covenant that was given to Isaac, and that's what makes us children of God. Otherwise, listen, are we from the seed of Isaac? Are we from the seed of, how many in here is Jewish? Okay, so I might have one in here, but everybody else, you're not of the seed of Isaac. So how do we get to heaven? We're adopted into the family. That family that we're adopted into is the family that comes from Isaac, from that promise of God. And that's what Paul's saying. Listen, just because you go to church, or just because you're from the seed of Isaac, or just because you're good, or just because of this or because of that, doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And this is his whole point. He's trying to get them to see that without Jesus Christ, you have no hope. He's trying to get them to see that without Jesus Christ, you're condemned. Without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Without Jesus Christ, you have nothing. You have a promise that is offered to you, but you don't believe it. So what do you have? Nothing. And Paul says, listen, it is only those of the seed of promise. And then he goes on, look here in verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. You can't earn it. It's of Jesus. Then he says here in 12, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger. Remember who her is? And the older shall serve the younger. That would be Jacob and Esau. Esau is going to serve Jacob. Why? Because Jacob believes in God. Esau doesn't. Look here. As it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Why? Not because of any other reason than that Esau had nothing to do with God. And so when you look at all this, guys, the whole point of that section in chapter 9 of Romans is the fact that don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Listen, if I can trip you up and get you to believe that you're not saved, and by the way, it doesn't have to be where I see it, but on the inside or in this where you're like, oh man, really, maybe I am lost. Maybe he is right. And maybe if he's right, what if he's right? You need to deal with it. Because the truth is, guys, there is not a person in this room that could ever convince me that I'm not saved. Not one. Why? I know I'm saved. Listen, I still may be an idiot at times, but I'm a saved idiot. Amen? Don't amen too much of that. Just the latter half of it. Listen, guys, don't fool yourself. Don't think that you're such a good person that you don't need Jesus. Don't think that you're such a bad person that Jesus can't save you. Paul's whole point here is it doesn't matter where you come from, you need Christ. It doesn't even matter where you're going, you need Christ. It doesn't matter where you're at. You need Christ. Because without Jesus Christ, you have no hope. Paul wanted the Israelites to clearly understand that, and I want you to clearly understand that, because I know there's some in this room who think, I tried Christianity. No, you tried a religion. I want to encourage you to try a relationship. I tried church. No, you were working to find something different because you're tired of the junk that's out in the world and you thought the church might be different, but you couldn't control yourself, so you went back out into the world. You didn't try Jesus. You tried works. Neither one is going to get you there. Religion has no value. Works, albeit good for some, has no value for you in eternity if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. That was Paul's whole message. That was Jesus' whole message. And that's mine. I don't care if you grew up in church. I don't care if your mom saved or your dad saved. What I care about is, where are you today? Some of you have gotten baptized and you think you're going to heaven just because you got wet. You're not. If salvation did not precede baptism, you just got wet. It meant nothing. Don't kid yourself. Don't sit there and justify anything you have done if it is short of receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because anything short of that, you have no hope. You're not going to heaven. Paul's told that over and over. As a matter of fact, you guys are going to get tired of hearing that in Romans. Because Paul still tells the same story all the way to chapter 14. So we might as well just pick up there next week. We're not going to, but literally, I want you guys to suffer. No, I'm kidding. But that's literally Paul going all the way from 9 to 14. From chapter 9 to chapter 14, Paul does all he can to say, look, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Kevin and I went out to breakfast yesterday, and Kevin Dunnigan, man, that boy can eat. Holy cow. I told him I was buying, and I think he ordered something off of every menu and then ate his neighbor's. I was like, oh my goodness, dude, I can't afford you. And so, so anyway, we were witnessing to the waiter. And as we're witnessing to the waiter, and I said, hey man, let me ask you this question. This is after several questions. I didn't just jump in there and tell him he was going to hell. Don't do that. I didn't feel led to do that. I have in the past, but not this time. And so I said, man, are you going to heaven? How do you get to heaven? And he goes, man, I do good. I'm like, oh, dude, you have no hope. He's like, what? And I go, how do you get to heaven? He goes, man, it's up to each individual, however they want to do it. And I'm like, really? I said, no, man, let me ask you this. From Albany, how do you get to Buffalo? You can only go west. There is no other way. It's west. If you go north, where are you going to end up? You're going to end up in the Adirondacks. And if you go south, where are you going to go? And a bunch of confusion in the city. And if you go east, what's going to happen? You're going to get wet. How do you get to Buffalo? You got to go west. There is no way. There is but one way to get to Buffalo from here. And you can say, yeah, well, I'll take 81 and I'll take 88 and I'll take this. I don't have to take 90. You're right. But you still got to go west. There is but one way to get to Buffalo. West. Somebody say amen. And just like there's only one way to get to Buffalo, there's only one way to get to heaven. And that's Jesus Christ. And that's what I shared with him. And he just kind of looked at me for a moment. I said, look, man, I'm not trying to make your job difficult. And I know, like, nobody wants to hear preaching. And you're a millennial, so therefore you guys just naturally complicate everything. And so, really? He agreed. And so, right, I got more millennials. They're like, hey, the truth is the truth. It is what it is. And I said, I'm trying to simplify this for you. Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for your sins for mine. And if you don't believe in him, you can't get to heaven. There is no other way. It's kind of like going to Buffalo, dude. There's only one way. And God says there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And if you don't go that way, you have no hope. You'll never get to Buffalo. You'll always be lost. Doesn't matter. Listen, your GPS will continually tell you, turn around, turn around, turn around. Holy Spirit's constantly going to tell you, turn around, turn around, turn around. And then eventually, both give up and leave you up to your reprobate mind. I want you to know today, Jesus is the only way. And if you don't receive him, if you don't believe on him, you won't go to heaven. There is no other hope. There is no other way. You can do it any way you want. But it says there's a way that man deems to be right. And in the end, it leads to death. We got to do it God's way. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you think that you can get to heaven the way you want to do things, you think you can get to heaven any other way, God says, no. God says, you are of your father, the devil. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no way to heaven, no way to my Father, except through me. Paul says, listen, you can come from many, many different directions, but to get where you're going, heaven, there is only one way. He was telling the Israelites that, and he even said, listen, man, if I could trade places with you, I would go to hell if you would just believe so that you could go to heaven. And Paul says, I got two witnesses. I have Christ and the Holy Spirit. They'll verify it. I am not lying. Guys, I'm going to tell you, I am not lying. I have Christ and the Holy Spirit to verify it. And I have countless other people in this room that could verify it. I would have none to go to hell either. But only you can make that decision. And so if you're here today and you believe what I've said, you may not even understand it all, but you go, wow, man, this is just truth. I can't even argue it. I don't even understand it. I can't explain it. But I believe. Jesus says that if you believe on him, that you go to heaven. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe with your heart that God has raised him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so it's with your heart you're going to believe, and it's with your mouth you're going to confess. And so if you're here right now and you wish to receive or you have believed on Jesus, I just want you to pray this prayer with me. This prayer just puts a time stamp on your decision so that when Satan comes and he tries to thwart you, you can say, get back, Satan. I remember the day I made a conscious decision for Jesus. And that's all, when I ask you to pray with me, that's all that is you putting a time stamp on your conscious decision to believe on Jesus. And so you pray after me quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, today I surrender. Today I believe on you. Today I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. And I will repent and turn the other way. I will live my life according to you, not according to me. I believe that the Bible says receiving you gives me eternity in heaven. And so today I believe on you. I believe on your name. Every